people, even if they're not religious people, if they get a dream that really impacts them, it has the power and the potential to guide a person's decision making. Dreams are so powerful. Most dreams, in fact, all dreams in the Bible, and I studied every dream in the Bible, every single one of them is from God. There is not a dream in the Bible that's from the devil. However, I do believe that there are people who have demonic dreams that are from the devil. And especially if you're not walking with God, you can be in a terror. Some people don't want to go to sleep at night because they're afraid that of their dreams. They're afraid of the haunting and the fear that will come over them when they sleep. And even some Christians are in that place, and some need a serious prayer and to break off some strongholds of darkness over them. But almost all dreams come from God for Christians. And even dreams that you think couldn't be from God usually are. And I dream every night. Last night I had at least a couple of dreams. And they're the ones I caught. Some of them slipped by me, but I'm working on a stronger net to catch the ones that are quickly going. Because, you know, this is a time, I've mentioned, when God has your undivided attention. In the daytime, you're thinking too much. In the daytime, you're distracted with at work or looking after children or all kinds of things. But when you're sleeping, God has your undivided attention. And if you've given your life to Him, I'm not saying that every person in the world, but if you've given your life to God and you have a powerful son or daughter relationship with Him, then the dreams of the night, you're walking with God, the dreams of the night belong to God. And many of us have not come to a place of understanding how God wants to speak to us in our dreams and how He will do so many things. So tonight we're talking about understanding the deep meaning of dreams. And I'm going to have fun in this message. This is a message number 3, understanding the deep meaning of dreams. Because there's, you know, I wondered how difficult it would be for me to teach you about how to interpret dreams. And I didn't want to get too specific to say this means this and this means this. And I know there are dream books out there that will do that. And I really stray away from that kind of teaching. Because I think everybody has their own dream language. And you have to walk with God and the Holy Spirit. Even as we read through the scriptures last week, and I gave you some very powerful warnings about false prophets who will use dreams to manipulate people or control them. And that is a terrible thing. Don't ever take your dream to a controlling or manipulating person. If you don't trust somebody explicitly that they're only out for your best interest, then please do not share your dreams with them. Because there's nothing more powerful than a dream. And if a person twists it to satisfy or to comply with their design for you, it can put you on a wrong course very, very quickly. So be careful who you take dreams to. So not all dreams are from God, but many are. Let's read a few scriptures just to put us in focus here. And we go, first of all, to the book of Daniel, chapter 5. And there we read in verse 12, "This man Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding. He also had the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means." So Daniel had a gift from God to interpret dreams. Another one in the scripture, excuse me, who could interpret dreams was Joseph. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 40, and verse 8 says, these are people who came into the prison where Joseph was, and they said, "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." And then look at verse 12. After they told him their dreams, one of them told them their dream. And in verse 12 it says, "This is what the dream means," Joseph said to them. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand just as you used to do. And it happened just as the dream said and just as Joseph interpreted it. Dreams aren't just in the Old Testament. We looked at many dreams in the New Testament. We saw that Peter had dreams and Paul had dreams. The apostles had dreams. I like this one that we didn't talk about. And you might say, well, it's probably not a dream. I think it was. It was a time in the night when Paul was on the boat and there was a shipwreck coming. And Paul had a visitation of an angel. And it says in Acts chapter 27 and verse 22. But now I urge you to keep up your courage. He's speaking to his fellow shipmates. Because no one, not one of you, will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You shall stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. And of course, the whole ship is destroyed, but no one on the ship dies. And they're all rescued. So this is a visitation of an angel that comes to Paul at night. We find that God often speaks to people in riddles. And we go to the book of Numbers. This is by way of review because I've shared this with you before. And in Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, God says, listen to my words. He's speaking to Moses and Aaron and Miriam. He says, when a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of God. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So God had a special relationship with Moses where he allowed Moses to see his form and he spoke with him face to face. But he said to all the rest of my prophets, I speak through visions, through dreams, and in riddles. And this has not changed in the New Testament times. Even now that you have the Holy Spirit, hearing from God is still putting pieces of a puzzle together. Your dreams are still riddles. You, in fact, discard many of your dreams, at least most people from other churches do, because they don't understand them, and they're such a riddle or such a puzzle, and when people wake up, they're not in the mood for a puzzle, and so they say, well, forget that. That was just too much spicy pizza last night or something like that. I had a weird dream. In fact, people who bring their dreams to me say, please help me to understand this dream. I don't think it means anything. I'm certainly sure it isn't from God. And they tell me their dream, and I usually say, this dream was definitely from God. Let me tell you what it means. It's a very powerful dream about your life. And when I'm finished telling it to them, they say, oh my goodness. And they see it, but before they see it, they think it was just gibberish, that it was just a concoction, a medley of different ideas. It's interesting, though, that you can have a dream about things you know nothing about that completely come from a foreign science or exploratory area of life that you have never been, you do not know anything about it, you've never seen it, you've never talked about it, and it can be in your dream. Because it doesn't just come from your subconscious mind. It comes often from the heart of God. And he wants you to seek him. He wants you to go on a journey to get to know him. He wants you to draw you unto himself. It's not just what he wants to tell you. It's like a father with a child. It's not just that he wants to tell the child to do this and this and this. A parent's task is not about giving rules and regulations. It's about building a relationship of love and interaction with their children. That's what a good parent really wants. They have to apply rules and policies and boundaries. They want to get a child answering questions, walking in a certain pathway. But more important than all of that is that they have this tender love and unity and a fellowship together with their family. So it is with God. So the dream is in a puzzle. In fact, most of the ways God speaks to you is in a riddle. And those of you who are casual about God or don't believe in him, we'll just cast it off as nothing. And that's fine. God will give you another one. But you'll cast that off as nothing. And God will give it to you all of your life. He'll touch you and call you and prompt you. And you can refuse him. As it gets closer to the time of your passing, and more people start to pray for you because you've got one or two illnesses or something, and God will come after you more vigorously and more plainly. But all of it is designed to draw you unto himself. Now, dreams, let me give you three basic kind of dreams. Some dreams are obvious. You wake up and it's as clear as can be. The dream is so crystal clear. I'll share with you an obvious dream that I had, one of the first ones that I can remember when I was 16 years of age, in just a moment. The second kind of dream is a solvable riddle dream. It is not so obvious, but you can, if you work at it and you pray and ask the Lord to show you, find out the meaning of the dream. And then there are some dreams that require a supernatural gift, a gift from God to interpret. And both Daniel and Joseph, who we read earlier, had that kind of gift. So somebody could come in with a dream that seems not about their life, but about buns, you know, about bread. And somebody gets a revelation from God, that's about your life. And the three loaves of bread represent 3 days. Well, you just can't come up with that and it actually happen and be true unless God gives you a special gift. So I want to say to you that when you get your dreams, some of them will be obvious. Some of them, if you work at and you really look to the Lord for wisdom and you seek his face and you do some study, they're solvable. And others, you will need to, if they're really serious dreams, dreams that you feel have a real power or an impact to them, you might need to go to somebody who can help you with the translation of those dreams. Now, let me tell you about an obvious dream. When I was 16 years of age, I was scheduled on the Sunday night to preach in our church. It was youth night. I was the youth pastor, and I was scheduled once a month to preach on a Sunday night. I was 16, and I was looking to the Lord as to what I should speak on. And the Lord spoke to me about spiritual warfare because I had never heard a message on spiritual warfare or on demons or demonology ever at that time. I had never heard my grandfather, Derek Prince, preach. But I was soon too. And I looked and saw this portion of scripture in Revelation chapter 12. I remember. And there it says that the woman was about to give birth and the great red dragon was there to destroy the child when the child was born. And I realized that there was a challenge over your life. There was an attack against your life. There was a destroyer who wanted to get you from the time you were born. And it's only the mercies of God that has kept you. And we are in a battle not just against flesh and blood, but against spiritual beings. And I am 16. And God gave me that out of the scriptures, just from that chapter. And I'm preparing the notes. And that night, I have a dream. And in the dream, I'm walking down the hallway towards this big conference meeting. I'm all alone, and suddenly 12 demon spirits. They were about the size and looked like monkeys, but they had faces like cats. And they were all coming around and kind of pinching at me. And I was swatting them away. And I walked down the hallway, and I opened these two double doors, and there was thousands of people in this conference. And they had their hands lifted. They were praising God and worshiping him, thousands of people. And I stepped in the door, and I closed the door behind me, and three of these demonic creatures got in. And in my dream, never heard of this before, I opened the door, and I said, "Get out in the name of Jesus." And they wouldn't. I said, "Get out in the name of Jesus." And they wouldn't. And I said, "Get out in the name of Jesus." And they left. And I closed the door. And I woke up. Whoa, God, what was that? Now, what kind of dream was that? It was a teaching dream. I was in Demonology 101. Within a week after I preached that message, I mentioned that dream in my sermon at the church. And the next day, I left for Florida to go to a conference where my grandfather, Derek Prince, was preaching. And he was speaking on demons and demonology. And at the end, he was casting demons out of people. So before I got to see my granddad in the ministry, functioning with that very gift, with those very entities, God gave me a dream. So I never forgot it. This year I'll be 60. I still remember a dream I had when I was 16. You see how powerful they are. And in some ways, it directed the course of my ministry. So that's an obvious dream. If in the dream you're casting out demons, you don't have to say, "I wonder what that was about." But I remember the time I had a dream and Joy and I were given a helicopter. You should be in some of my dreams. They're fantastic. And I said, "Come on, Joy, let's get in there." I'd never flown a helicopter before, never been in one at that time. And we got in and I started this thing going and it went up and we were flying and I said, "This is fantastic. I got to get myself one of these." And then, but it was mine. And then we landed in the field and there was this huge opera house beside it. And we landed and I said, "Come on, let's go in and enjoy the opera." And we went in and it was an orchestra playing and everything. And when we came out, my helicopter was gone. Somebody stole my helicopter. And I woke up, and the Holy Spirit said, "Peter, don't let anybody steal your helicopter." And I thought, "Lord, what's my helicopter? I don't have a helicopter." So there's a riddle here. You understand? This is not obvious. There's a riddle here. And the Lord then, I opened up the Bible, and the Lord showed me very clearly that the helicopter was the call of God on my life and the work of the ministry. And I must not allow anybody, whether demon or political person, steal the call of God on my life. And it has kept me going through some pretty rough moments when I had to face some people who were not nice. So some dreams are obvious, some dreams are solvable like that one, and some need a supernatural gift of God to interpret. Now, let me give you seven things, because I always give you seven things. And I want to give you seven things about learning how to discover the deep meanings of dreams. The first thing I want to say to you is learn to remember your dreams. Because some of you don't remember your dreams. You know, I think I had a dream. Some of you say, I never dream. And some, it's because God wants to call you to a deeper walk with Him. I believe that everybody will have dreams if they come after God and they seek Him and they ask Him. Because the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you in the night as much as in the day. So I suggest this. Take it seriously. If you want to remember your dreams, first you have to have them. But start to pray before you go to sleep at night. Say, Lord, tonight, as I lie upon my bed, I give myself to you. I give my mind to you. I ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to just be all over this bedroom. Send your angels to accompany me in my sleep and give me the word of the Lord. Speak to me. Most nights I will pray something just like that, just in a sentence to the Lord before I lie down. The second thing is, when you get a dream in the middle of the night and you wake up and it's 3 o'clock and you have this dream and you know, wow, that was from God. Man, I'll have to think about it in the morning. In the morning, you will likely wake up and said, I know I had a dream, but I can't remember what it was. So have a little piece of paper beside your bed with a pen there. And in the middle of the night, just write one or two things about. You don't have to write the whole dream down, but just write one or two things. And it will, you know, you can hardly see. Your hand is going all over the place. But just write down a few little things. Then go back to sleep. You'll probably have another dream. But in the morning, when you see that chicken scratch on the paper, it will bring the dream back to you. If you're serious about hearing from God, do it. And then, if you want to learn to remember your dream, wake softly and be still. A loud noise that wakes you up, you know, the alarm clock going off, dring, will just chase any dream that you had away. Unless you have a panic dream, then you might remember it. But most dreams you'll forget if you're woken with a start. I find if I set my alarm clock, as I have to do some mornings, I wake up about 2 minutes before the alarm clock goes off. I don't know if any of the rest of you do that, but I've known of others who... It's amazing how your eternal time clock can often do that with you. But if you can avoid waking up to an alarm clock, it's a good thing. And especially on a Saturday morning, I'm sure, you know, if you're not going to work, you don't put the alarm clock on. Make sure you turn it off on the Friday night. But when you wake, don't move. Don't move. Just be still. And say, Lord, here I am. Did you speak to me in the night? Ah, yes, I did have a dream. And at first you might just remember a tiny little bit of it and then start to review it. And you'll find more and more of it will come back to you. And allow the tape to replay in your mind. And then stay there if you can in your bed for 10 minutes. And process what I call the first responder, a first responder program to your dream. All right? And this is the second point I want to make to you. When you're lying there in bed, you've had a dream, begin to meditate and talk with God about your dream. Say, Lord, help me to remember. Thank you for a good night's sleep, Lord. Thank you for speaking to me. Then ask, what does this dream mean? Ask, why did you give me this dream? Who are the people in my dream? When did the dream take place? Where did it take place? This week I shared with you, I think it was on Sunday, about a dream that one of our members here had. And I said to them after, I said, this probably is a post-apocalyptic dream. And it happens just at the beginning of the great millennial reign of Christ on the earth. And the dream is probably taking place in Israel down by the Dead Sea. So as you start to talk with God about your dream, more and more of it will come. More and more of it will come to you. Some, if you go this way, sometimes parts of your dream will come to you in the middle of the day. You know, sometimes God allows me to get a whole sermon while I'm sleeping. And God will give me points of the sermon. I can go to bed one night and I have to preach the next day and I'm not sure what I'm going to preach on, but I prayed and I've studied and I didn't feel I had an answer, and I go to sleep and in the first hour of the night I wake up, I had a dream and God gave me a revelation. It's just an interesting point. And I write it on a piece of paper, two or three words. I go back to sleep and then the second hour of the night I wake up with point number two. And I write it down and it happens all the night long. And by the time I wake up at the end of the night, I have a 10-point sermon. So process, allow God to work with you in your sleep. It's an amazing adventure. So the first thing is learn to remember your dream. The second thing is meditate and talk with God about your dream before you leave the bed. The third thing is get your responses, your first responses. And this you usually do when you take your dream with you. You're up, and for you guys who are not bearded and you're shaving, you know, you're thinking about your dream and you're talking with God while you're shaving. You're washing and you're getting dressed. You're talking with God, and that was very interesting, Lord. And why? You know, you're asking him more questions, saying, Lord, why, you know, were all of those children in that boat in my dream? What was that all about? Why did they find themselves in the boat? And God starts to give you things halfway through your shaving. You have to put your shaving down and go and write it down with a half of a white creamed face. But see, that you start to do this, and then you pray for every person who was in your dream. You can't, if you process everything about your dream before you get out of bed, you'll be in bed all day. So you have to get up and you have to talk with God as you go. And then you come back to it. You know, you have to go to work, but at lunchtime, maybe you've got a couple of minutes where you just go out and sit under a tree or something, and you that dream comes back to you, and you talk more. And every time you do, God will give you a little bit more. And then you pray for the people who are in your dream. If it was an evil dream, something that was demonic or something that was a warning in your dream, then you rebuke it. When you wake, you rebuke it before you get out of bed. You say, you know, it was an evil thing. Maybe it was a lustful dream that, you know, was really bad. Or there was some kind of demonic attack against you, some bear or dog or something. And you need to respond to that and say, I renounce that, I rebuke that. There may be a teaching in it. And you need to respond immediately to that. If it is a dream where there's provision given to you in the dream, you are blessed and favored in your dream, before you get out of bed, you say, thank you, Lord. I receive the blessings that you're giving to me today and in this next season. And all through the day, these things will come back to you. An evil dream you will continue to rebuke when it comes to you through the day. Because what you're doing is you're pushing an attacking spirit away from you. But you're also, if it's a blessing, a provisional dream, you're blessing God and thanking him. And it fixes it, puts faith in you. You need to partner with God in what's happening in your dreams. So there should be this immediate response that takes place. If you have a panic dream in the night where something very evil happens, or the glory of the Lord is seen in your dream. You have a glory dream where God takes you to his throne room, or you're flying. You might want to get out of bed in the middle of the night and fight that thing and rebuke it if it's an evil thing. But if it's a glory thing, say, oh, thank you, Lord. I want to worship you, and just have a time of worship at 3. It's wonderful. So the fourth thing I want to tell you about understanding dreams is to evaluate the 7 types of dreams. If you did not yet get message number 1 or 2, if you were not here, please get the CD and listen to them. In message number 1, I talked to you about the 7 types of dreams that God has taught me. And they're in the scripture, and I showed you these in the lives of different Bible characters who have dreams, because almost everyone in the Bible who is a leader has dreams, and the dreams are given to us in the Bible. So here are the 7 kinds of dreams. The first one is a directional or teaching dream. Just like the one I had when I'm casting out the demons, before I ever knew anything about demons, I'm casting them out in a dream. I cannot go into any depth on each of these, but you have to get CD or tape number 1 and listen to that message. The second kind of dream, the first one's a directional or teaching dream. God gives you direction as to where to go, what to do. Second one is a warning dream. And this can be an attack that comes against you or against your family, against your children. I've known many parents who have had a dream about their child where something evil was coming against their child. Don't be passive about that. You go, and if your children are really young, you know, you don't want to scare them with too demonstrative a prayer, you know, casting out demons or anything like that. You can scar the poor child. But you can pray over them gently and bless them. But then when they're sleeping, you can just go and lay hands on them and take authority over every unclean thing, over your little boy, over your little girl. And if you have a warning dream like that, then you're going to protect them where they go and what they do. You're going to take a, you know, look a little deeper with more interest in the activities of the day that your children are in. So warning dreams. Then there's flushing dreams, and those are sometimes a perverted dream or a dream of something that you know is wrong and evil, and it's you're involved in or it's drawing you in the dream, and you wake up feeling awful, just like, I need a shower real quick. That was horrible. But what you need to say is, Lord, thank you for exposing that spirit that is coming after my soul. And then you rebuke that thing. That's what happens with a flushing dream. And then there's an apocalyptic dream. And apocalyptic dreams are happening everywhere around the world today. Wherever I go and preach, people are telling me about apocalyptic dreams. And apocalyptic dreams are, you know, people are having visions of tornadoes and earthquakes and tsunamis and volcanoes of all kinds and just terrorist attacks. They're often a picture of either a spiritual dynamic that's coming against your family or against the nation, or they're actually a physical thing that's coming. And it might be something in the near future, or it might be something for the tribulation period time that the book of Revelation talks about. But either way, you say, Lord, here I am. Help me. Be merciful to those people. Show your kindness to them. Help me to serve you well in the midst of that. Give me such faith if I am in the middle of that. Put your protection over your people, O Lord. You pray like that when you have an apocalyptic dream. It's God giving you a picture of something and calling you into partnership with him. And then there is provision and blessings dreams. And this is seen many times in the scripture where the Lord says, do not fear, do not be afraid, I will take care of you. And sometimes you really need that because you're out of a job and you don't know where to go and you don't have the finances. And you're really struggling. And then God gives you a dream. You pray. Say, God, just give me a word. And God gives you a dream. And then it's a provision dream, and I've had many of them. And then there is a glory dream or a holy ground dream. And that's when God allows you to fly. If you're flying in a dream, it's a good thing. And I fly at least once a month in a dream. And now my way of flying in a dream is I have to flap my hands a little bit. And I start going like this, and all of a sudden I'm up. And then I'm flying around. And I'm, first I'm just about, 5 feet off the ground. And I have to work at it. And then I shoot up above the trees. And then before long, I'm up in the clouds. And I'm having a great old time. And I wake up and say, let me go back to sleep. Yeah. It's refreshing. But I think a flying dream like that is, it's just a little bit of a glory dream where God is giving you some glory and power, and he's blessing you. Sometimes he will take you into the throne room and show you the angels worshiping or something like that. And when you get a dream like that, it's time for worship and praise and really exalting the Lord. And it's just because God wants to. It doesn't even have to have some specific purpose for you to respond to except to worship him. It's just because you're part of the family and he wants to show you the family business. And he's just taking you on a tour. It's wonderful. And then there's destiny dreams. Destiny dreams are dreams that have to do with your life. And they are dreams that stay with you all of your days, a calling of God on your life or a provision for your life. And I was talking with Jesse the other day. He said, since he's been here, he's had many, many destiny dreams about his life, the call of God on his life. So that's the fourth thing. If you can evaluate what kind of dream, and most of this might sound complicated and there's a lot of things to sort through, but once you have this relationship with the Lord, this stuff will just come natural to you. I don't sit there and think, now, what was point number four? You might want to write these things down, and then when you have a dream, go and look through them. But for me, I know immediately that was a warning dream, that was a teaching dream, that was an apocalyptic dream. And I'm already, it's my habit to pray as I wake and to talk to the Lord about what's taken place. And I think that's why the Lord has allowed me to have many dreams and why I can interpret dreams. It's part of that because I'm interested and I want to hear what God has to say. And so if you hunger, he says he'll feed you. If you thirst, he'll give you to drink. If you seek him, you'll find him. There's a process in all of that. So evaluating the seven types of dreams will give you half already, just like that, of how to interpret your dream. As soon as you know that's a warning dream, you're not so frightened anymore about everything that happened in it. You know what to do. And then the fifth thing then is, I said this in the middle of the night, but I'll say it again. Now, when you wake up and, you're maybe having breakfast or there's a time in the day when you can finally sit down, write your dream down. Especially, I don't write down every dream. I would fill up too many books. But the ones that are so dynamically powerful, I write them down. And I write down, that's when I will sit and I will write two or three pages with as many details about this dream as can be. And so get a book, a diary, put it beside your bed. And, the book is smarter than you. When you forget, it will still remember. So write it in a book. And years later, you'll go through and read through some of your dreams. And it will be such a faith builder because so much of what you dreamed happened. Dreams that you forgot about have now happened because they happened a year later or 2 years later. And you've had 50 dreams since then or more. So you might forget it, but some of them will come back to your memory. But then when you go through the book, you say, oh my, look at that. And it will build your faith and strengthen you. So the book is there to trigger your remembrance and to give you a record of your journey. Now, the fifth thing I want to tell you, the sixth thing I want to tell you is about the unveiling and the exploring of the details of your message. I'm going to have to hurry. I'm going to give you probably 11 things about their indicators or things that will help you with the details of understanding your dream. We've kind of just given you the introduction so far. So first thing is, when you wake, ask yourself what kind of emotional experience you've just had. Was it euphoric or was it traumatic? Was it an epic story? Because a dream can be from the sublime to the extreme terror. You can have any dream with such a vast array of emotions. But the emotions will help you to determine what kind of dream it is and what God is saying to you. Whether he is blessing you, providing for you, or if it is so intense or horrifying that it puts you in a bit of a panic while you were sleeping, you know this is a serious, serious matter. Don't take it lightly. The second thing, then, in unveiling and exploring the message of the dream, ask yourself how it ended, especially if the dream was an intense, horrifying dream. If you were falling, or a bear was on you about to devour you, what happened at the end of the dream? That's the most important part of the dream. Because if you were chased by this grizzly bear and he was just about getting you, just about getting you, just about getting you, but finally you got away from him and you're up on the end of the other mountain and there's a big earthquake that came and the bear couldn't cross it now and he's on the other side and you're on the other side of the mountain and you go, whoa, and you wake up. That's a good ending for that dream. You understand? Let me tell you, when that dream... Pay such attention to the end of your dreams. Because no matter what the trauma is, if the dream ends well, the situation is going to end well for you. That's the word of the Lord to you. You're going to be all right. Then no matter how intense it was, you're going to be all right. And it will help you with that dream, no matter how traumatic it was. If the dream ends bad, you've got some serious work to do. When you wake up, you better pray. You better rebuke that thing. You better go into battle. And you probably have to recognize you have to fight a battle if you have a dramatic dream, even if you end up well. The Lord's telling you what kind of thing is coming against you. But if it doesn't end well, you need to seek the Lord to give a different ending. And he will. Most of the time. And then the third thing you need to ask yourself is, are you in the dream? Because some dreams, you know, you see all these kind of things. But if you're in it, it means that the message involves you. It may be about you, but it might not necessarily be about you. Might be about somebody else, but it still involves you. It means that you have a role to play here. You may need to adjust something in your own life, or you may need to help somebody or protect somebody. If you're in your dream, it means that there's definitely an action required of you. The fourth thing, and this is the kind of thing where there are some general, common, universal things that come into a dream that every time, I won't say absolutely definitively every time, but almost every time, this is what they mean. So if you're in a dream and you're in the home you grew up in, it's a family home, you recognize it. It is not about the house. It is about your family, your generational family. And the Lord is going to expose some things about your family. If the house is rickety or burned, shabby, falling apart, it tells you something about your heritage, that there are some skeletons in the family closet still to be dealt with. Some of the battles you're fighting with now is because of a rotten floor in the old family house. Do you understand? So your childhood home is always, I say that tongue-in-cheek, always about your family and the generations. It can be great. It can also be showing you something that's lacking. And then if there is a minister or an authority figure in your dream, take note of that. In fact, every week, several people come to me and say, I had a dream, and you were in it. I am not at all surprised if I'm in your dream. But it's very significant to me when you tell me that I am in your dream. It tells me a couple of things. One is that we're connected by the Lord. And two, it means that I'm involved in giving you some mentoring or some direction, or you're going to help me do something. It's something like that will be there. Also, when you have a minister or a spiritual figure in the dream, an authority figure, it's usually, if they speak to you, it's God speaking to you. And he speaks to you through that person who you recognize as a spiritual leader in your life, or a father or mother who you admire and look up to. It's a word of God to you. Even if the word sounds a bit strange, give it some time. Because there's often a hidden thing in what is spoken in that. Now, the sixth thing about the dream is, if you have a catastrophe in your dream, which I call an apocalyptic dream, ask yourself, is it literal or is it figurative? You see, understanding dreams is like understanding the book of Revelation. I think most people don't have a clue. And most pastors don't want to preach out of the book of Revelation in case they get it wrong, because they haven't heard from God about it. And there are so many different opinions, and they start reading other people's opinions, which can be a deadly thing. You have to be very careful. Make sure you really trust the person who's written the book on Revelation. Somebody who's not going to try to hoodwink you, or just be a copy of what other people have said without doing the work for themselves. But when you look at the book of Revelation, you understand that some things are literal and some things are symbolic. So in your dream, some things are literal and some things are symbolic. And just as you have to determine that when you read through the book of Revelation at every sentence, you have to also determine that in your dream. So was the bear a real bear or was it an evil spirit? Right? And then you ask yourself about the catastrophic dream. Is it for now? Is it something that's coming right now? Is it a spiritual thing on my family? Is it a catastrophe that's coming to the United States this summer? Or is it way off in the future? Ask those kind. This is after, of course, you're out of bed. It might even be the next day. You've written this down. You're praying. You're asking the Lord for wisdom. Now, the seventh thing is that the people who are in your dreams, the people may be recognizable, but some you've never seen before. It's amazing how God can give you the faces of 20 different people in a crowd and you don't know any of them in your dream. Where did they come from? Who created that painting? Well, you make sure if you know them, you pray for them. If needs be, you forgive them. If it's somebody who's hurt you, make sure you forgive them. You bless them. And then you pray God's blessing and salvation, healing, prosperity over everyone in your dream. If it's a crowd, pray for the crowd. Might be too much to go for everyone individually. But then if people you know in the dream, you may have a warning or an encouragement to give somebody. And God has, when I've been a pastor over the years, I remember one case where a young couple were very godly people. And they were going to get married. And I saw I had a dream about the two of them. And I didn't see anything in the dream that was R-rated. But I knew it was happening. And I said, I want to talk to you two. I had a dream. And I saw you in the dream. And you were in the bedroom. And some things that shouldn't happen with a godly couple before they get married were about to happen. And they just started to cry right there on the spot. And they said, just today we were talking about that. We haven't, but we were talking about it and saying it would be okay. I had the dream that night, like the night before. And they cried, and I said, well, I'm not the policeman, but I just want to share with you what God shared with me. I love you guys. And I never told them what to do or what not to do, because God did. And then, if you have, the next thing is, if you have a holy ground, a glory dream where you're flying or it's euphoric, you have just received some revelation. God has given you some revelation. That's the purpose of the dream. That God will give you powerful revelation. Hold that in your heart. If he takes you to heaven on an amazing tour, hold it in your heart as powerful revelation. And give him thanks for that and worship him. All right, the next thing I want to tell you about uncovering your dream is when you are falling or being chased. Most people have a dream at some time where they are falling or being chased. It is a warning about an enemy. The enemy may be within you, or it may be coming after you. When you wake up, you rebuke that thing, or you get it right. If there's something in your own life that needs to get right. You know, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you like that, and you ask him what it is, he'll put his finger on it right away like that. And you get it right. Repent, do what's necessary. The next thing is, if there is a demonic element, I mentioned this already, rebuke it, renounce it, proclaim God's protection and blessing over you and your family, prophesy, and shut the door. Don't let that thing in. Say, I refuse you, you demon spirit. And then change your ways. Just this week, somebody shared a dream with me that somebody was walking, and it was a demonic character. They couldn't see their face, but they knew there was something evil about that person. They were walking four dogs. And then one of the dogs turned into a cat and broke away from the owner and came and attacked this person who had the dream. And they were fighting it off, you know, with karate. And then they woke up. And I said to them, there have been... The person with the dogs is a strong demonic, is a strong man of a house of demons. And three of those demons are already taken care of. You don't have to worry about them. But there's still one in your life that would like to hold you back. And that person says, I know exactly what that is. And they told me. That was just this week. So then there are the next one, I think it's number 11, fleshly or lustful dreams, and I've mentioned to you, renounce them, confess your place before the Lord, and despise those things. If you have a dream that you know is wrong, off-colored, and you wake up and you don't want to renounce it, you can go down a slippery slope. Be careful. All right. Then the seventh and final thing about understanding your dreams is the debriefing your dream experience. All right. So after you've got all of this information from looking at your dreams, finding out what kind of dreams there are, asking yourself those kind of questions, And the more you dream and the more you walk with God, these questions would just be a normal, natural process. And you will be able to understand most of your dreams. And if you're still unsure, of course you need to find somebody who you really trust, who has a good spirit, who has a gift to help you. So now, in debriefing your dreams, one, be honest, honest, honest with yourself. And hold your interpretations loosely. Don't say, this is what it is, and I know it's it, and that's what I'm staying with. Because that might be a little bit of pride, and you might have it wrong. It's okay to handle it a little loosely and say, all right, Lord, if you have more to show me, if I've got a part of this dream right and a part of it wrong, here I am. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Second, share very selectively your dreams. Be careful who you share them with. Some dreams I can share with the whole church. You know, Paul in this, he shared with everybody on the boat. Don't be afraid. An angel met with me in the night. He told me everything is going to be all right. But there may be some dreams, like the dream that Joseph had about his brothers and his father and mother all bowing down to him. He shouldn't have said a word. Because when he told them, they wanted to kill him. So share selectively. Number three, observe and evaluate the parameters and the perimeters, the scope and the boundaries of this dream. Is it for you? Is it for your family? Is it for the nation? Is it for the world? You'll get some dreams that might be for the whole world or for a nation, for a people group. Fourth thing, let there be ongoing meditation and prayer for people or situations in the dream. Carry them in your heart. If God gave you them in the dream, carry them through the weeks, through the even the years maybe. Then follow through with action if God has given you direction for the dream. In your dream, God told you, he revealed something to you. There's something you need to do. Do it. Second last thing. When you get a dream and it's really gripped you and you don't understand it, come to somebody for help. If it's that powerful a dream. You don't have to do it with every dream, but when you know something is real important, then share it. And lastly, when you have a dream, thank God. Thank God for giving you the dream. Thank him for all that he's shown you. So all of this information, it's a lot of information. Write it down on, get the CD, write it down on a piece of paper and maybe a little manual or something. And then as you get your dream, go through and read that and ask yourself those questions. After a while, it becomes second nature to you. And then God will speak to you more regularly and your dreams will give you a whole different level of involvement and partnership with God for the work of the ministry and for the love of God to be expressed in you, to you, and through you. Let's pray. Please stand. Lord, I thank you for the gathering of your people here tonight and for all that we've talked about. Lord, I ask that you would bless them and encourage them. Let your Holy Spirit be upon them. Lord, I ask for dreams for your people. And I ask that you would give them good interpretation. I ask for pleasant dreams and godly dreams, but also purposeful dreams and partnership dreams. Lord, let your anointing now come on your people. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I speak the blessing of the Lord over you and over your life. Now, I speak a release of dreams to you from heaven and the power of God. And I pray it over you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.